I cannot remember a time when I was not part of a local church. As a small child growing up, I would go with my father and my grandmother. And at that time, I had no awareness of the richness of the body of Christ. I only knew that it was a place where we heard about Jesus who loved us, where we sang songs of praise to God, where we helped people, some who were very far away, and where people loved me, even if I had done something bad that week. Then I grew up and learned that the church was also about committees and task groups, debates over issues, setting priorities, and having strategies. It was about small groups like choirs and lunch groups, Bible studies, breakfast groups, golf and bowling leagues, programs like picnics and stewardship campaigns, fundraising and mission trips, children's and youth ministry activities. It was about weddings and funerals and baptism and all the milestones of life and so much more. And in the midst of this, I learned that we do all this with a wide variety of folks. Some like me, in that they have always been a part of a church. Others came to it later in life. Still others have dipped their toes in and out of the body of Christ for most of their lives. Then we come to the wide expanse of personality types, life journeys, experiences, viewing points, and there are differing races and genders, differences in who we love and how we choose to live our lives, from world travelers to homebodies to professionals and students to those who work with both their heads and their hands. Even in the most homogeneous congregations, you scratch the surface and you will find the diversity of which Paul speaks to the Corinthians. Using the metaphor of the human body, Paul tries to help the church in Corinth understand that all parts of the body of Christ, while different in function and in viewing point, are necessary and are to be valued. And while it might not be the parts that immediately come to mind, yet, according to Paul, it might be the weaker, the less beautiful, the seemingly inferior parts that are as needed as any, and that no part of the body can simply be cast aside as unnecessary, no matter how much they pain and irritate us. Paul reminds us what it is to be the main thing, and that is our unity in Christ, which is why I wanted to read those first two verses. Our unity in Christ. All are baptized with the same Spirit. No matter the tradition or the means of baptism, this is what holds us together. Sure, we can walk away from the body, but the Holy Spirit does not let us go. It goes right along with us. We are still one in Christ Jesus, even when we do not act like it, even when we're not feeling it. So I've come to realize, years later, after much theological education and many experiences of ministry, that actually I had it right back when I was a kid. After all, what more did Jesus ask of us than this? To know that Jesus loves us all and to teach others that truth. To sing our praise to God. To help others both near and far. And to love and be loved by each other, even if we've done something bad this week. I have come to love and be increasingly thankful for the church in all its forms and locations, wherever those essential functions are present. Although if I were honest on any given day, I'm not sure I could say that. But maybe I just don't like it. I love it. I want to share with you, if you'll indulge me, a few moments of my gratitude for the church in hopes that it will resonate with you as you think about Christ's body, its form and function, and find your own sense of gratitude. First, there is Wayne. Wayne was a man who lived in skilled nursing, and I was the chaplain there, and I was bringing communion to him. And as I began the words of institution, those words that tell the story of Jesus in the upper room, tears started to roll down this old crusty man's face. I'm grateful to have the story of Jesus' love for this man who thought he'd been forgotten. On a mission trip to a children's home with church members, one of the resident youth came up to us while we are laying floor in the dining room. And she asked, why would we go to all this trouble to help people that we don't even know? Don't we know what they've done? Now, I'm grateful for a church who loves people we don't know in order to show God's love to those who haven't known love from anyone. In a hospital room, a mother had just given birth to a child who for months she and her husband knew would only live maybe an hour after birth. I am grateful that the waters of baptism were there as a sign that God had claimed this child as his own. Not as a necessity for salvation, because we don't believe that, but as a sign of love and grace to these grieving parents. I am grateful for the church where youth would rather go and build homes in eastern Kentucky, where they work hard labor for 8 hours every day, than go to a youth conference because they know that Jesus wants them there to help their neighbors. I am grateful for the ones who ask others in church, how are you doing? And they really want to know, and they will listen to the answer. And I'm grateful when the church is a safe place to bring your sorrow, your anger, your frustration, your indignation, as well as your joy. I am grateful for those who can see how committed other people are to the well-being of the church, even in the midst of disagreement. When disaster strikes, whether wildfires or hurricanes or mass shootings, I am grateful to be part of the church that not only responds quickly and immediately, but commits to being there for the long haul until lives are rebuilt. I am grateful for the church where as a new deacon is ordained and the hand that is placed over hers is over 90 years old, a veteran elder and deacon herself, and the young deacon begins to weep, overwhelmed by the presence of the Holy Spirit in the touch of that elderly hand. I am grateful for the church where people can return to worship after years of choosing not to come, and they are welcomed back without question. I am grateful that in the midst of disagreement, long meetings, boredom, hurt, anger, stalemates, questions, fears, all the things that make the body of Christ oh so very human, we continue to gather at this table, holding on to grace, not only for ourselves, but for whatever we can muster up to offer others, and hoping to catch a glimpse of the risen Christ in those who come forward with us. For in those moments, we are most assuredly the body of Christ. To paraphrase Paul, I am grateful for a church of hands that honor and respect the feet, of elbows that recognize the need for ears, and know that with all that diversity of backgrounds and gifts and graces, we are a stronger, richer, more faithful body, a body that in its unity suffers with those who are suffering and rejoices with those who are honored. Thanks be to God for the body of Christ. Amen.